December 10th, 1971, a new radio station owned by Howard University hit the radio dial in Washington, D.C. at 96.3 FM with the call letters WHUR.
96.3, the Black Frequency.
This is Robert Hooks. WHUR is a new thing here in Washington. It's the sound of Black America.
Hi, you're Stu the Nighthawk here. 7-Eleven, that's my natural born number.
W-H-U-R.
This is Oscar Brown, Jr.
I'm Joyce Shelby of the News and Public Affairs Department.
My name is Mark Randolph, and I'm a member of the Public Affairs staff here at WHUR.
This is Progressive 96 in Washington, WHUR FM. All the music, all the time, WHUR.
This is the ghetto.
Hi, this is Donnie Hathaway speaking from the ghetto to the ghetto. Can you dig it? Stay tuned to WHUR-FM, Washington.
For 50 years, WHUR has provided the DMV with music, entertainment, news, information, community service, and so much more. Today, we say thank you, DMV, for helping us to achieve 50 years of broadcast excellence and community service. And now, here is the first song played on WHUR in 1971. The theme from Shaft on 96.3 WHUR. Sounds like Washington.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Sharon?
Well, we can do it.
He's
a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Jack.
And with that, Washington saw a bold, innovative move in entertainment and information explode onto the radio airwaves, the station we know and love as 96.3 WHUR-FM. Good evening. This is a special edition of the Daily Drum for December 10th, 2021. I'm Harold Fisher. During the next hour, we take you on the journey that started as WHUR-FM and has become the Howard University Radio Network, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're going to hear from the many voices on and off the air that made WHUR 50 years strong. We begin with the man who flipped the switch and made all of this happen, Jim Watkins, and the man who now sits at the helm of the Howard University Radio Network, Sean Plater. Jim, you were what? 19?
Yep.
Yeah, give us a sense of what it was like back then.
Well, you know, we went on the air in a classroom trailer.
Yeah.
And we were mono. We were had a little board that we used to get on the air. And it was electric. It was something that was completely different. We knew it was new. We had Bob Nighthawk Terry, who was at WOL Radio at the time. And he was the operations manager, and he was on the air, and I was standing behind him and talking to the transmitter, and at 6 o'clock, we hit it.
At 6 o'clock?
6 p.m.
You said it was electric. Did you have any idea about what you were doing at the time? I mean, it sounds to me as if you were kind of flying by the seat of your pants in a trailer. Black radio was still, even at that time, kind of in its infancy.
Well, we knew this was something that was unique. Number one, the station was a gift from the Washington Post Company. The university exchanged a dollar for it. And we knew it was commercial, which made it very special, because most stations that were owned by universities were non-commercial. And it was the first black FM station in the market. WOL was the big kahuna in D.C. at the time. And it was a group of folks that some of us had broadcast experience, some of us didn't. But the general manager at the time, Phil Watson, really brought us together as a team, and we launched the station.
I remember that time vaguely. I mean, I was a kid. But back then, WHUR was playing jazz.
Yes, we started off playing jazz.
Yeah, why jazz then?
I can't really answer that question. That's what the format was at the time, and that's what we were playing.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, we were playing jazz music, but that was a genre of music that was really different than just a regular R&B. So it gave it a little level of sophistication, and it allowed us to play music that other people weren't playing on the air.
Sean, talk to me about how you feel about now being responsible for this 50-year legacy.
Oh, man, it's been a huge, it's huge responsibility, I'll tell you that. Because this station is, it is so unique and so special, and there's so many people who have poured their blood, sweat, and the tears into making it what it is today. And so I feel that responsibility every day to make sure that we honor the legacy of this station. And so we function with that every single day with those who have built this station over the years in mind. That's how we take it forward.
But
you know, you started here as an intern.
I did. Yes, I started as a as Jim's intern. Are we going to tell those stories tonight?
Yeah, we're going to tell the truth and shame the devil. We always do on the Daily Drop.
No, I did start as an intern, and I think that's what makes it so special to me. And not only did I grow up in this area listening to this station, but I also had the opportunity to work as an intern and also in various departments throughout the station. So I really have an understanding and appreciation for what everybody in this building does. And that's what makes it so special to me.
Mm-hmm. Jim, real quick, reflect on the 50 years. And I know that's hard to do in such a short period of time.
It's a little surreal. Yeah. I mean, it's I remember being here at 19, putting the station on the air, and just watching how it just systematically grew. And we always did things that other stations didn't do. I mean, I remember my first nightmare here was when the program director was playing The Last Ports on the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had lots of expletives in there, and we played it, you know. We played it. Never got complaints, but the thing was that we were able to provide programming that was so different than what was on radio at the time, and a lot of public affairs, a lot of stuff that was on the air to serve the community from its infancy.
Yeah. Now we're going to hear from some of the voices that our listeners may or may not know, the people who have shaped the distinctive sound of the station over the years, the program directors. But before we do that, I want to hear from some of the talent as well, some of the voices that we've heard from over the years. One of the voices who did middays here, Tresina Gray.
Hello, this is Tresina Gray. Happy 50th, 96.3 WHUR, under the umbrella of the historic Howard University. What a blessing to be a part of an extremely unique radio station for the majority of those years. You see, when I first came to WHUR, being super ambitious, my initial goal was to only stay roughly 2 years or so. However, after working at various stations, there was something extra special in the air. It truly exceeded my expectations on many levels. Now, when we talk about 50 years, that is a success story beyond measure. We're talking about a commercial radio station owned by an HBCU. How cool is that? How rare is that? On top of that, a standalone station? Come on now. Meaning WHUR has survived and thrived in the midst of numerous mergers happening every which way in this competitive industry. Lord knows I thank God for my truly amazing journey. I must acknowledge former general manager Jim Watkins at the helm for the majority of WHUR's 50 years of existence. In addition, kudos to all who came before. I also wish current general manager Sean Plater and his staff continued success. WHUR's core success comes as a result of an incredible fabric unlike anywhere else. It's the pulse of the DMV, and that's thanks to you, the listeners. Now, earlier this year, I had a special memorable moment when I met and embraced my beautiful radio sister, Autumn Joy, who is now holding down the midday shift that I held near and dear to my heart for so long. I wish her and WHUR the absolute best. May you continue to shine and thrive for another 50 years and beyond. Here's to WHUR 96.3.
Well, thank you so much, Tresina. Of course, Tresina, doing middays for many, many years here at WHUR. Let's talk about the guys and, you know, the people, that is, who really helped shape the distinctive sound over the years. As I mentioned earlier, the program directors.
This is Max Myrick, program director and operations manager of WHUR from 2011 to 2015. HUR means everything to me. I was an admirer of the station when I was working at other stations around the country for a very long time, and I finally got an opportunity to work at WHUR, and it was just an honor to work with the wonderful people there, to be a part of the heritage and everything that the station means to the community. And I'd like to say happy 50th anniversary, and thank you for all that you do.
I'm Dave Dickinson, WHUR music director from 1995 to 2002, and honored to lead WHUR as program director from 2003 until 2010. WHUR means the world to me. It's where, when I first arrived in the DMV, that I learned community and family are one. It's where I learned that what sounds like Washington and the sounds that I love were one and the same. WHUR and I will always be linked in the way that I approach life through sharing thoughtful information, the joy of entertaining, and the love of the people, places, and experiences it introduced me to.
You know, one of the things, Jim, about program directors and how they shape the sound, you know, of the station, and I remember this back in the 80s and the early 80s, and even when I was here the first time during the late 80s, we had 96 Degrees of Blackness, the superstation, the adult station. Talk to me about those taglines, those slogans.
Well, let's get them right. The first one was the 360 degree total black experience. Okay. That was the first one. The second one was the Ebony Lifestyle System.
The Ebony Lifestyle System.
That was under Tom Jones.
Look at Sean's face.
we had a jingle package we did with the Fine Arts Department, the whole nine yards. Then we left that, and then we went to Progressive 96.
Okay, I remember that.
And then we were Washington Superstation.
Yes.
And then we were the New Sound. And then later on we became Sounds Like Washington.
Right.
The adult mix.
Which is where we are now.
Right.
Absolutely. That is, you know, that really is fascinating to me. And in addition to, of course, those slogans, those taglines, of course, you know, we have the, can I call them disc jockeys? Because that's what we used to call them.
They are announcers.
Yeah, there was a reason why we called them disc jockeys back then, because they played records. And one of those disc jockeys who, of course, was Sheila Eldridge. Sheila, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
are you laughing because I'm referring to you as a disc jockey? How are you, Sheila?
I'm good. Look, we had carts for the commercials. Okay, we were doing vinyl. It was a different day then.
Briefly talk to me about your best memory when you were here.
Oh, gosh. I think I'm the first student intern at the station, by the way. So you see that HUR is definitely about family, because look at Sean, he's the general manager. And in 1974, I was an intern in the library, and I loved music. And I was able to get on the air on the weekends and as a disc jockey. And I guess my memory is that when I left HUR, I realized how special it was. I moved to California, and there is no radio stations, there are no entities that are really family that cultivate and look out and take care of you. And that's what HUR does and has done over the years. At that time, Jim Watkins, you were the engineer. He was not the general manager, and he trained us and everything. And almost 30 years later, he has been so supportive and a mentor, helping me build my business. So it's that family, it's the commitment to the community, and it's just a love of blackness and really giving to the community and to the audience something that is very special that you can't get everywhere. I mean, what radio station has a nightly news show that's on every night giving you the news from a black perspective?
Well, Sheila, thank you so much. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really appreciate you chiming in. Sheila Eldridge, back in 1974. How about that? Thank you so much, Sheila, for chiming in. And also with us in studio, he was also not just an on-air personality. He was also, among other things, a music director for WHUR World, Joe Gorham. Hey, Joe.
Hey, man.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
I'm glad
it.
You got really respectful after that disc jockey comment.
Well, you know, hey, we're talking about 50 years, so, you know, we have evolved.
Yes, we have.
Your favorite memory while you were here?
My favorite memory while I was here was almost at the end of my career.
Oh.
Jim Watkins asked me to build a HD2 hybrid digital radio program. And he gave me that task. And when he gave me that task, obviously I must have completed it long before he thought I actually would. With the help of a whole bunch of people, including Sean. And then he sprung the network stations on me with Sirius XM 141 and 142. So brother had a breakdown, and that was my best memory. That will be my best memory because nobody has done what Sean and I did to put together a radio network.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That was part of the transition from radio station to network.
Right. Absolutely, and that was Jim's vision to be able to do that. And what it did was when we started WHUR World, it really set the template for what became Sirius XM 141 and Sirius XM 142. I mean, what local radio station operates two national brands on Sirius XM? And that's a part of what we do here, where the brand is not just in Washington, D.C., it's really worldwide.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, Joe, so much for that. Also, we would be remiss if we did not bring Angela Stribling in, who started here way back in 1990. Angela, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you, love. I like how you said way back in 1990.
That's right.
Well, it's true. And you know what? I'm so proud of it. I was on BET back in the day, and also on WHUR, and Melvin Lindsay and I were besties. And, talk about just some amazing days. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Angela, your best memory while you were here. I mean, you obviously have this incredible voice, and people know you from all
Thank
of the things
you.
that you've done. You know, you've done The Quiet Storm, certainly, but also, you know, this incredible voice that is indeed iconic doing, you know, you are in many ways the voice of this station.
Yeah, thank you so much. And so many people say that, you know what, Harry cannot, like, you know, be dressed all frumpy going to the supermarket thinking nobody's going to know who I am. Because as soon as I open my mouth, call me out. So it's a blessing and a curse. And, you know, it's an honor to be a part of WHUR for all these years. And, you know, I've been in and out. So I was there in the 90s. And, you know, as I said, I was with BET, did television. And then I ended up, you know, singing out of the country for quite a few years. I mean, spent like 10 years back and forth in Tokyo, Japan. And came back to the station in, I guess it was about 2010, and, you know, came back and still the voice of WHUR, The Quiet Storm, and all of that. So it's just been a blessing. I mean, I thank God every day. I wake up just feeling blessed to do what I absolutely love,
yeah.
And that is use my voice to just, you know, just communicate with people and reach people.
Angela Stribling, thank you so much for sharing in this.
That's a pleasure.
Really, really important day. Thank you. We are taking you on the journey of WHUR that started 50 years ago today, and we're inviting you to celebrate our anniversary with us as we discuss WHUR yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I wanted to ask you certainly about this, Jim, because this is really important, and we'd be remiss if we did not mention Melvin Lindsay and the Quiet Storm. For many people in Washington, D.C., the DMV, and indeed this country who love music, the format and the voice of Melvin Lindsay is synonymous with this station.
It really put WHUR on the map with respect to programming. And Melvin was a one of a kind. Melvin Lindsay was the Quiet Storm. You could tell how he felt each day he was on the air. Everything he played, he selected personally. And it really hit a note, both locally and nationally.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, having lived in so many cities during my news career when I was in television, one of the things I found so interesting was that people would talk about this radio station or that radio station. Oh, yeah, we're listening to the Quiet Storm on K123 or WABC or wherever it happened to be. And I would always have to say, here is the lesson about where this came from.
Right, right.
And they would say, really? I said, yes, WHUR in Washington, D.C. And they would say, I never knew that. Well, now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know. You know, we want to, you know, also remind people that we're not just known for music, but we're also known for community service. You know, Karen Campbell helped shape what we do today, from, you know, Project Harvest to, of course, what is now known as Food to Feed, and so many community efforts. Karen, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. It was great to see Jim today, too,
yes,
earlier today.
Talk to me, Karen, about what WHUR's community service not only meant to you, but also to the DMV community and the kind of work that you really helped spearhead.
I actually, WHUR was a great learning and a great training ground. I actually evolved into that role, beginning with the School of Communications at Howard and the radio station, which had a great relationship and provided a lot of the talent for the station, from doing news at the student station to the opportunity to do news and community programming shortly thereafter, becoming a reporter and producer and working with the absolute best in the business. I was 17 when I started. I turned 18 at the station. While working at the station. And I had the opportunity to walk into a fully staffed news team of professionals who covered international, national, local news from a different we were taking news stories and reporting to explain the impact on our local community on people of color. So, and we provided commentaries, and we did live remotes, which how we evolved into the live community programming. We did things such as a remote at the Martin Luther King Library downtown on the AIDS epidemic affecting our community, which we all know claimed the life of our own Melvin Lindsay. We had newscasts around the clock, and the drum was a full hour. Going from doing that level of news to initially evolving into under Jim's leadership, director of community affairs, and fully being responsible for the community events that we did. That whole experience broadened my worldview. It connected me with influencers and community movers and shakers in the community that I grew up in. I'm a native Washingtonian, and it helped me earn a healthy respect for truth and integrity and connectivity between communities. Not only for me, but I think that experience for me reflected what the station's evolution in that respect. And we learned how important that was to the legacy and the history of WHUR.
Well, Karen Campbell, thank you so much for sharing with us on this really important day.